Well, good morning, saints of God, friends of Jesus, sowers for a great awakening. What else can I call you? My friends? I do consider you my friend. And I meet people all the time and they're like, man, I feel like I know you. And you know what? You do know me. And I know you. And when we meet up, it's like we're old friends because we're getting up every single day meeting with Jesus together, guys. That's rich. That's real. And I'm honored and blessed to get to be doing this with you. So just hear my thank you. I haven't even said wake up yet. It is Tuesday. It is April the, gosh, what is the date today? It's April the 21st. In the year of our Lord, 2026, I'm John David Walt. And this is your wake-up call. It's Taco Tuesday. Yes, again, another great day this week. And, you know, it's also joining day. I don't like to make announcements here at the beginning, but I put links every Tuesday. I'm like, will you join the field team? Will you help us sow the wake-up call? Will you join the pastor's team, the group of pastors that your wake-up call pastor? Pastor wrote me the other day, said, I'm a wake-up call pastor. I'm like, awesome. That's the best news I've heard today. We got wake-up call pastors. So go to the PS and click those links or the show notes in the podcast. Are you ready? Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Jesus Christ will shine on you because he's in you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see over my shoulder, there's a seed rack. It's full of seeds. Watermelon, cantaloupe, rhubarb, okra, carrots, cucumbers. Guys, we're sowing seeds just like that into our minds and our hearts and our bodies every single day. That's what we're doing here. Just thought you need to be reminded of that. And if you never watched this thing on YouTube, I wish you would. You will see the wonderland in which I am sitting in Gillette, Arkansas, called the Seed House. My son David and I, David's done most of the work, has created an incredible little, it's not little even, we bought this 100-year-old hardware store that was abandoned. This retired dentist friend practically gave it to us, and that's a whole nother story. But I'd love for you to see it, and you can see it on the YouTube. Okay, guys, today's entry is entitled On the Difference Between Information and Revelation. And our text is Ephesians chapter 3. Yes, chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. My gosh, the word of the Lord. It is unfathomable all that was just said in that text. I mean, gee whiz. Now consider this. As I let myself sink into Ephesians, I am struck by an obvious insight completely new to me. Paul is not writing a letter here. He is trying to describe the indescribable. Paul is not downloading doctrine and theology on his readers. He is live streaming a vision. And let's remember, Paul is not new to the faith. He was not naive. He's no Johnny come lately to the people of God. Paul saw something, and not only could he never go back to the way things were, he would never get over it. Go back and scan through Ephesians so far and note the language alone. It's not hyperbole. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. That's chapter 1, verse 3. The riches of his glorious inheritance. That's verse 18 of 1. In his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's verse 19 of chapter 1. He fills all things everywhere with himself. That's verse 23. The incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us. Chapter 2, verse 7. Unsearchable riches. Chapter 3, verse 8. Manifold wisdom. 3, verse 10. Eternal purpose, verse 11, boldness, access, confidence, faith. That's all in verse 12. Let's remember who Paul used to be. He was the president of the Young Pharisees Club, a riser, most likely to succeed, an ultimate insider. He hated Jesus and anyone even remotely connected to him. He was the equivalent of a radicalized, fundamentalist, anti-Christian terrorist. Need evidence of this? Here, Acts 8, verse 3. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. He killed Christians. I mean, like, closest thing I can come to describing Paul in those days, Osama bin Laden. Then he says this, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is pure vision. He's not solving problems, as in many of his other letters. He sees past the surface and into the substance of things, beyond the appearance into the ultimate reality. He is desperate for us to see it too. My biggest problem is I've read the letter enough now to be pretty sure I know what it means. You know, once I know what something means, I can move on. The gospel is not information. It's not knowledge. It's not precepts or principles. It is not a belief system. The gospel is the fullness of the revelation of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't get it and move on. the sign that we've gotten it is we never get over it. And the other sign that we've gotten it is the more we get it, the more we realize there is more to get. The gospel is not information and cogitation. It is revelation and transformation. Somebody stop me. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the exact representation of your being, and who fills our lives with your fullness by the power of your Spirit. Forgive us for somehow thinking that we even halfway get you. We know we have you, and yet we know there is so much more of you to have. And that's why we say, just have us. Just have me. Bring us closer. We're praying in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts. Number one, I got four. How do you marvel at the incredible turnaround in Paul's life? It is so unbelievable. It's just like Jesus picks. He's like the 13th disciple, right? And he picks, you know, he picked hard cases in first 12. He's not literally number 13, but, you know, for practical purposes, you get my point. He picks an impossible case. And look, Paul wrote this letter. How did this happen? Number two, what do you make of this idea that I put out there today that the authenticating sign of the gospel is that you just can't get over it? And that you know there's more to get. And then number four, how do you understand the difference between reading this letter as information and comprehending it as revelation? I do hope you're journaling. I hope you're making notes and drawing pictures. And I hope you're in one of these little weekly discussion groups. Guys, I'm making videos every week on the other end of the week, and they're meant to be gathered around in a group. The video's like 15 minutes long, and they're a mess, let me tell you, but I'm having fun with them. And the group, there's a set of questions every, you know, I guess it's every 7 days you see the thing. There's questions, there's just directions on how to get around this workbook with a group of people. And I hope you're doing it, because the Bible is better together. It was written to you, plural, right? Second person, plural, you. It was written to us. And I hope you're doing that. Gosh, I'm just kind of blown away by and you know what I say often, the greatest impediment to my own awakening is I'm pretty sure I'm already awake. There's always more. And that's what we're pressing into. That's where holy discontent comes in. You're like, you know what? There's got to be more than I'm getting. Yes, Jesus, more. Open my eyes. Open my ears. Open my heart. Open my mind. Blow my mind. I love that story on the Emmaus Road when they're walking along with Jesus. They don't even know who he is. It says he's opening the scriptures to them, beginning with Moses. He's pointing out himself all the way through the whole Old Testament. And at the end, after he left, and they figured out, like, oh my gosh, it was him. They said, did our hearts not burn within us as he opened up the Word of God? Did our hearts not burn? Guys, That's what Jesus is doing now. He's doing it today. He's doing it with us every morning. He's opening up the scriptures to us. And our hearts are burning within us. That's why we just keep saying, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. You know, if this is not impacting you, if this is not hitting you, I'm just saying, go throw some cold water on your face. Go take a cold shower. Go do a cold plunge. Whatever it takes. It's time. It's time to get on with the second half of the gospel. We talked about that yesterday. We're never going to get over that. We're going all the way from holy discontent to profound love. It's going to pass through the valley of our brokenness. We're going to have to deal with some things. We're going to have to do some healing, some inside work. We're going to need some friends. We need a band around us, not to fix us, but to hold space for us as we go to courageous places and receive healing from Jesus. Receive all that he wants to give us. All right, I got a big song for us today. This is one of my favorite hymns. It's in our hymnal. It's called Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Just felt right as I was working through the entry today. We're going to sing all four verses. Number 7, page 7 in our seedbed hymnal. Our great Redeemer's praise. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the ancient of days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small. In all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. Wow. All praise we would render. Oh, help us to see. Open the eyes of our hearts. 'Tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. Guys, the heavens have crashed in on the earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is live streaming his personhood through you and through me and through us together. Heaven is streaming live on earth today through us. We got to wake up to that. We got to learn to move with it. We've got to grasp the eternal life benefits package. It's massive. Or are we just going to sit around picking blackberries, right? We got good to sow today. So much good. All right, get your seeds. It's going to be a good Tuesday. I love you. I'll see you on the field. For the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt. Here we go.